There are gateways and portals over the promised land. There's no doubt about that. Just like there are gateways and portals in other places on the earth. And this is how these entities pass through.
L.A. Marzulli, it's always great to have you here on Charisma to talk about really what is going on in the world from a spiritual sense, because you have a great understanding of the supernatural, but also the natural manifestations of the supernatural, we'll call it that way. So it's great to have you here on Charisma to talk about what's going on in Israel.
Well, first of all, John, thanks for having me here. There's a scripture that your audience should memorize. The Lord led me to the scripture months and months and months ago. In fact, in my studio here, I don't have the Bible there. It's actually in the main house because that's the one I read. But it's open to Amos 9, 14, and 15. Remember, this prophecy is written thousands of years ago. And it says this: I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. Check. They will build the waste cities and inhabit them. Check. They will plant vineyards and drink the wine from them. Check. They will also plant gardens and eat the fruit from them. And here's the kicker: I will plant them in their land, and never again will they be pulled up out of the land I have given them. So Israel is back. The waste cities are rebuilt. The vineyards, I've been there. The vineyards, the gardens, unbelievable. They export fruit. And right now, Israel is fighting for her life. She's fighting a seven-front war. And most of the mainstream media doesn't tell you that, but that's exactly what's going on. Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, the West Bank, Gaza, and Yemen. That's seven. She's fighting a seven-front war. Russia is down with the Iranians. And according to some of the information I recently received, there was an Israeli strike in Syria on a Russian base. I can't vet that. I'm not sure whether it's real or it's conjecture or, you know, whatever. But if that's true, then, I mean, this thing is not going away. And the wild card to watch is Turkey. Because Turkey has a real air force and a real, you know, standing army. They've nothing to be fooling with. So Iran knows this, that she cannot go alone against Israel. Iran just fired, what, 194 missiles into Israel? And can you imagine living in a country where, you know, you get up and you're having dinner and it's a beautiful night and all of a sudden the sirens go off and you see all these missiles streaking in towards Tel Aviv and Iron Dome is being launched and the missiles are blowing up? I mean, can you imagine living like this? Welcome to Israel. They've been living like this for the last year. October 7th is, what, 4 days away? And, you know, here we are, and Israel is at war for a year. And something that is not talked about, they are probably war weary. This is a small country. Everybody is armed and dangerous right now in that country. We know people that are in their 50s who are not conscripted but have volunteered, and they're walking around with AKs, you know, guarding this, guarding that, whatever. So we are in unprecedented, uncharted waters. The wild card is Turkey, and the fact that Erdogan has already signaled that Turkey wants to join BRICS, which is Brazil, Russia, India, and China, that coalition of countries trading oil in currencies other than the petrodollar. This is huge because, you know, for decades, the world has traded oil in the petrodollar, and that's what has bolstered our economy. We are $37 trillion in debt. If the BRICS nation, and by the way, Saudi Arabia has joined BRICS.
Oh, wow.
So we are in uncharted waters, as far as I know. $37 trillion in debt. These countries leaving the petrodollar. Gee, I wonder why. And the wild card here is Turkey. And Iran, let me circle back. Iran knows it cannot go it alone. So this is why I think we're looking at Ezekiel 38, 39. Now, I don't know. It's too early to call, but it's not going away, and it seems to be forming. So you've got the three major countries in the Ezekiel 38 prophecy are Gog, Magog, Russia. And there are people who don't believe that Russia is Gog. Believe what you want to believe. That's my take on it. Turkey and Iran. Those are the three players. They're on the world stage right now. It's not going away. And, you know, it's still too early to call. That's why I'm not saying we're Ezekiel 38 is about to happen next week. Some people were saying that. I won't go there because you don't know yet. And cool heads have to prevail. But that prophecy's never been fulfilled. And then you combine that with Amos 9, 14 and 15, never again to be pulled up out of a land I have given them. So that's where we are.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things I want to talk about. I know that one of the questions that I always have is if you actually read about the land dimensions that God talked about, that this was the promised land, it actually goes a lot bigger than from the river to the sea.
Yeah, it is.
Israel has never occupied its full potential. And so you see these nations within those lands coming up against Israel. It does make me wonder at some point, like, how is Israel going to fulfill that part of God's promise, of that prophetic word that he gave, that this is your birthright, this is the land I have for you, but they've never realized its potential. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, this goes back into the Balfour Declaration. When you go back to 1917, and you know, most people today have no idea of history and how we got here, and they don't realize that originally the land grant from the Balfour Declaration, Israel was twice its size. They shrunk it, and then they shrunk it again. To you know, you go back to what it was before the 67 war, before they annexed the West Bank. I mean, you can't, it's indefensible. They can just go in and they can cut Northern Israel off from Southern Israel. It's a tiny little, tiny, teeny weeny country. And yet it's hated. And there's a supernatural dynamic to this. So what was written will come to pass. What was foretold is unfolding. And this gets into Bill Salas's work. You know, will Israel, in fact, expand her borders? We might see that. But we don't know how she's going to do that. We don't know. And so we watch and we wait and we see it. But my take is this, and I hold on to this, and I would you know, admonish your listeners and people who come here and see these type of interviews, memorize Amos 9, 14, and 15, and understand that I will plant them in their land, and never again will they be plucked up out of the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. That's written thousands of years ago. Israel's back. We are in that time where they will never again be plucked up out of that land. And of course, Ezekiel 38 is the Lord shows up. You know, read Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's an absolute mind-boggler. I mean, it really is. It just blows my mind when I read that. So, and those nations are seemingly forming as we speak. So again, we're in uncharted, unprecedented waters. The land grant, the original land grant, is much larger than what we see now. The question is, how does Israel get there? Is it Psalm 83? Is it Ezekiel 38, 39, and then she expands? I don't know. Mm. I honestly don't know. I know both. Dynamics, if you will, but I hold on to everything really loosely, John, loosely.
And there's so much that we need to continue to look at the Word of God and keep that at the forefront as we're looking at the headlines, because we know that the Word of God is true eternally, and the headlines are what's going on today. And those are facts. It's not the truth. It is facts that are happening. I mean, you can put that through a different lens based on who's writing that and where you're getting that from. But there are facts that are happening. But we know that the truth is in the Word of God. And LA, we've talked in the past, and I'm going to put a link to this video in the description here. I always like to get the what is God saying to you about this coming year? And I did that with a lot of people. And our interview has gotten a lot of attention because of something that you mentioned about Damascus being attacked and destroyed. And we've actually seen some of this actually come about. What's your take on that so far?
Well, I'm still waiting. I mean, you know, Isaiah 17 is Damascus has become a ruinous heap in a moment, in a flash. Israel has already saber-rattled. You do A, B, and C, we will destroy Damascus. The suburbs around Damascus are already a ruinous heap. I mean, I've got footage of this from Russian drones flying over. Right. It's a wasteland. I mean, it really is. And it hasn't been rebuilt. And Israel has been striking the Damascus airport. So we know that. So, I mean, they're not messing around here, but that has not yet been fulfilled. This is why, you know, we look at these things and we wait, we watch, you know, watch like a hawk. I mean, I check it 2 to 3 times a day, different websites to see what's happening, because you're not getting any news here from our media outlets. I mean, it's basically it's a blackout, you know. So you got to go the Times of India, Raptor News, I-24, Jerusalem Post. Then I go to the Turkish newspaper, Sabah, and look at that. And I just go all around from, you know, places outside, like the Times of India. I mean, you know, who goes to the Times of India? But yeah. they'll report stories and incidents which we don't get. We don't hear word one of, like the meat grinder in Ukraine. There's a section in that whole Ukraine-Russian war. It's called the meat grinder. So you send your 21-year-old kid in, and he's basically ground up like hamburger meat. It's a death zone. Over 1 million people have died in that ridiculous war between Russia and Ukraine. And here's something to think about. And what I am watching is the Ezekiel 38 passage, which talks about the Lord putting a hook in Gog, Magog, Russia, in my opinion. People will disagree on that, fine. Believe what you want to believe. And draw Gog down into this conflict.
Yeah.
And I have wondered about this forever. And I think we are in the window of time where Russia really doesn't want to get involved in this. They're up to their eyeballs with the whole conflict in Ukraine. And yet, if what I just said a few minutes ago is true, that Israel struck a Russian outpost in Syria, and Russia and Iran are linked together, make no mistake about it, there's that hook in the jaw. Iran acts like the hook and brings Russia into the fray. Conjecture at this point, but it's based on the prophecy, I will put a hook in your jaw and draw you down, which means Russia really doesn't want to get involved in this. I had never understood this before. Now I get it. Because they're up to their eyeballs with Ukraine. They don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And Putin is like, he's sort of on political, you know, ground, which is shifting like crazy.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
So he really doesn't want to do this. There's that hook in the jaw. So that's why I'm looking at this. I'm expectant. I think that Iran acts like that hook and brings Russia down into the fray. If Turkey joins in and they go up against a land of unwalled villages, and again, there's some great researchers who take issue with this and say Israel is not a land of unwalled villages. I take the opposite side. I've been to Israel.
Yeah.
Israel is a land of unwalled villages. Yes, there's a wall to keep out the suicide bombers. I get that. I totally get that. But I've been all over Israel, and it's a land of unwalled villages, which in antiquity, you just didn't live that way. You know, you lived in walled cities because your enemies would come in, and if that wall's not there, they can just run rampant, kill you, take your wife and kids as hostages, and, you know, rape your wife and take the kids as slaves, and on and on it goes. But Israel is, and it's in a false safety because it's a false peace, which is exactly what we see. And I think Israel was a land of unwalled villages, which, remember, when Ezekiel was writing this, that's unheard of. A land of unwalled villages? No one in the ancient world lived that way. But here's the deal. With the advent of the airplane, you can build the biggest wall you want. We'll just fly over it.
Exactly.
So that's why, you know, it's a land of unwalled villages today.
Yeah. So let's talk about this land. I know we've talked, another interesting interview that you and I have done was talking about Nephilim in Gaza. And this was very interesting because we read about the conquest of Israel back in Joshua and Caleb's day, and they had to kick out giants. They had to defeat the giants. And a lot of these tribes that you've actually been able to point to and say they have Nephilim origins, or, you know, mixed breed origins. And so that's why God said, wipe them out completely.
Right.
Men, women, children, animals, even.
Right.
We can maybe go into some of that a little bit to explain it. But there is a spiritual thing that is happening over that region still, because Absolutely. Not everything was kicked out. Let's talk about that. And also, I know that we've talked a little bit about portals over in Israel, because there's a lot of questions that people have about that. So let's talk about Gaza and then lead into portals.
We know from the book of Daniel that when the angel is dispatched, Daniel prays, and an angel is dispatched to him immediately. But 21 days he's restrained by whom? The prince of Persia. There are territorial spirits. I'm not making this stuff up. The Bible tells us who is the prince of Persia. I would posit and put out to your audience that the prince of Persia, Iram, has never been deposed. That same entity rules that space. Just like when I was in Fatima, all right, Portugal, that territorial spirit, the goddess Mora, has never been deposed. Mm. Never. So when I was there filming on Fatima, I got hit with a territorial spirit. That's a whole different deal. Whole different deal. You're looking at something like I was curled up in a fetal position at 3 o'clock in the morning, wow, saying over and over again, you know, the blood of Jesus, Lord, help me, please. And finally, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, trust the process. It's like, what? Trust the process at 3 o'clock in the morning? I'm tapping out on the map and this thing's not going away. You know, it's happened one other time about fairly recently, a couple of years back, where I knew exactly what it was. And I said, Lord, please send your angels. And all of a sudden, just like that, it stopped. Mm. Just like that. And, you know, I didn't see anything, but the oppression is unbelievable. When you get hit with something like that, I mean, you know, it's, you can't, we're not equipped to deal with it, but he is. Greater is he that is in me. So all that to say that the seed war, when the conquest of the promised land happens, it's the culmination of the seed war. Abraham was tapped out 400 years prior to that. Out of your seed, all the nations will be blessed. That talks about the Messiah. So now, and then it's the pre-incarnate Jesus who says to Abraham, you know, you're going to become a great nation, but you're going to go down to Egypt for 400 years. And so the sin of the Amorites comes into its fullness. Amorites are a Nephilim tribe. The Nephilim are the progeny of fallen angels and human women, creating a hybrid being, which is soulless, in my opinion, which inhabits that area. So when Abraham goes down there, we know what happens, that kids, you know, the offspring wind up being slaves. Moses gets raised up. They all come out. And the 10 plagues and all this crazy stuff, I mean, it's unbelievable. And the reason why the Lord hardens Pharaoh's heart to show the children of Israel, I'm the real deal here. Because he knows when they get up to the promised land, they're going to see the Nephilim were there. Mm. You're like grasshoppers in their sight. And that generation passes away. Very, very sobering. So now, 40 years after that, 40 years, they're wandering aimlessly in the desert, around and around and around. So now the new generation, the old generation's died off. New generation, we can go in, we can make this happen. Gathered in the promised land are the Nephilim tribes, the Zanzumim, the Emims, the Anakim, the Nephilim, the Rephaim, the Horites. All these tribes, in my opinion, they have different genetic characteristics. There was a little lead tablet that was found on the altar of Joshua. Altar of Joshua is right at the gateway to the promised land. That altar was ceremoniously shut down because that's what they did in the ancient world. But archaeologists went in and discovered it. And another archaeologist went in and sifted all that soil. They found this little lead tablet. And it says this: cursed, cursed, cursed. Cursed of Yahweh. You will die cursed. Cursed, cursed, cursed. Mm-hmm. There are people that say, well, that's, you know, the blessings and the curses that we read. It's to the people of Israel. I'm not buying that for a second. That's my opinion. And I realize I'm completely biased in this. And I get that. But this is not to the children of Israel. This is to the Nephilim tribes in the land. And Yahweh is the first time we actually see Yahweh written in Proto-Canaanite in that little, and the archaeologist said, we all went back to school. We didn't realize this existed, but it's there, Yahweh. Cursed, 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 cursed of Yahweh, you will die cursed, 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 cursed. I mean, it's unbelievable. And it's right at the gateway to the Promised Land. And it's not genocide because these are Nephilim tribes which are there. So then later on, as you're reading in Scripture, it basically states this, that Joshua and Caleb did not conquer the city of Gaza. They did not go in. And isn't it interesting, territorial spirit, I'm not saying the people in Gaza are Nephilim, but that territorial spirit has never been deposed. And this may be conjecture on my part. Is this why we see some of the atrocities that we see on October 7th, where they were creating fire necklaces, you know, putting a tire around your head, right? And the inside of a tire has got gasoline and they light it on fire. That's a fire necklace. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I mean, you're talking, this is, we haven't seen stuff like this since the Holocaust. So it's just amazing as to what's going on. The late Barry Chamish wrote a book on the Nephilim. He was a reporter in Israel. And I met Barry, and I had just published my first book, Nephilim. So I go down to where he's speaking at a UFO deal, meetup group. And I walk up to him, and I just hold my book cover like this, which says Nephilim on it. He goes like this because he's written the same thing. And he's an Israeli Jew, and he's passed away now, but we communicated over the years. And giants were being seen in Israel. This is back in the 90s now.
Really?
He wrote his book. And he said the giants were never good. They were the enemy of Israel. So, you know, we traded notes and stuff back and forth. Unfortunately, he passed away several years ago, Barry Chamish. But I believe that there are gateways and portals over the Promised Land. There's no doubt about that in my mind. Just like there are gateways and portals in other places on the earth. And this is how these entities pass through. And here's my proof text for that. For those of you who are going, well, where does the Bible say that, L.A.? Well, it's right here. Daniel, once again, prays and the angel comes to him. But the prince of Persia restrains him. Well, how does that work? Why can't this angel just do an end run? He can't, can he? So the prince of Persia is here. Well, the angel can just, you know, fly over him or fly under him or fly around him. No. The angel's got to go get Michael and the boys. And then Mike and the boys fight the prince of Persia. And we're not told how that works. But the prince of Persia is moved out of the way. The angel can get through. That is one of the most sobering passages in all of the guidebook of a supernatural, i.e. the Bible. It really is. It's just mind-boggling. And we're not told, how do they fight? In the book of Revelation, we're told Michael and his angels fight with the devil and his angels, and he's overcome. The devil's overcome. He's cast to earth. How does that happen? How does he get cast to earth, for crying out loud? You see where I'm going with this? I mean, the guidebook of a supernatural is mind-boggling. And we're not, you know... Can I have another paragraph on this, please? You know, and we just don't see it. We just don't get it, which is, you know, really frustrating on some level.
Yeah. I mean, I wish there was so much more that the Bible went into detail about that
we
have questions about today. Yeah, and I know that whenever we get to heaven, I definitely want to see the playbacks of a lot of those biblical battles that we see, or those biblical miracles where you see angels intervening.
Yeah.
And those types of things are going to be, that's definitely what I'm asking for sure, whenever I get there. You know, let's talk about these portals because, before we do that, I just got to say that I you mentioned the cursed tablet, and I've interviewed Scott Stripling, Dr. Scott Stripling, who is the archaeologist that has found that as they wet sifted that. And is remarkable. And everything that you said does, you know, I just agree with that. And now there is different understandings of there's amount of blessing and the amount of cursing, but I'll really... your take on that really gives some interesting insight, because when you keep in mind about the Nephilim and the Seed War, it makes a lot more sense of why there would be a cursing as opposed to a just a blessing. Let's talk about these portals. Like, what exactly do you mean by a portal? Is that like a round circular gateway, like in Stargate, or what is this?
Can I share my screen with you? Can
Please
I show
do.
You something? Okay, hold on. This is a gateway. This is a portal. This is the work of Scott Carpenter. Scott passed away, and that's another three-hour conversation. Let me show you what it looks like here. So Scott learned a long time ago that he would, here's the trail, he's in the woods, all right, and you can see that there's a round, you can see the sphere. See it right there?
Mm-hmm.
You can see the circle. Right here is the entity that is coming through the portal, right there. And it is a Sasquatch with an elongated head. Here's the second shot. Here's the Sasquatch right here with an elongated skull, right there, kneeling down. And you can see the circle right there. He's coming through. So Scott's walking through the woods, and he learned years before to put a camera facing behind him. So as he's walking through the woods, that's why he has this on film. This thing is coming through a gateway, coming through a portal. And
okay.
It's on film. And it's on film.
Where is this film?
Well, Scott sent it to me. I have it.
Okay. So you've seen it open. It's not, and you're just sharing screenshots of it.
All we had was the, and his copy's better than mine. When, you know, he showed it to me, you can see very plainly that this thing is kneeling down, very elongated skull, and it's right in the pathway, and there's a perfect circle like this.
Yeah.
And he's kneeling right in here. It's unbelievable. He's coming through. And we've had other reports of, can I show you one more thing?
Yeah.
This is a game trail camera. All right.
Okay.
So this entity is coming through some sort of a gateway. That's what it looks like.
What?
Yep. Yep. That's, notice the eyes, notice the ears.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And yeah. That's got some enhancement on that to see.
Yeah, we went back and we messed with it. Absolutely. So people go, oh, L.A., that's a hoax, blah, blah, blah. So this is the grandson with a sheet trying to create this image right there. Well, he can't create that image. This is an entity coming through a gateway, a portal. Right. And it knows it's being photographed. It looks right at the camera. It's a game trail camera.
Goodness.
And also, look down here where it says 46 degrees.
Yeah.
And this, whatever this entity is very androgynous looking. It's got an open collar. It's 46 degrees out.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. This is how they travel. This is what they do. It's unnerving. And the problem is most of a church has this very truncated view of the supernatural. And so when you show them things like this, their brains, our brains, because I'm the same way.
Yeah.
There's nothing in our grid system that prepares us for this. And yet it's real. I mean, when Gehazi goes out, Elisha's servant, and this is in the book of Kings, 2 Kings, I believe. And Elisha goes, Lord, open his eyes. So kicks Gehazi out of a tent, and he sees the entire Syrian army surrounding them. It's like, we're going to die. But above the Syrian army, right? What's this? And that's what it is. I looked up and I saw chariots of fire. So Gehazi is trying to see what he's, you know, trying to interpret what he's looking at through his lens thousands of years ago.
Right.
What is the mode of transportation? A chariot. What is the means of illumination? A fire. A chariot of fire. What are UFOs today? Now, this is a disc. I get that.
Yeah.
But what do people see? You know, fire in the sky. That was a Travis Walton, Fire in the Sky, based on his abduction experience. So it's there. And by the way, you've got the charisma sign right behind you.
Yes.
What is a flame that doesn't burn? What is the pillar of fire? What are the tongues of fire over the apostles? Is there something called the holy fire? This is the film we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be released probably early November. And what we do is we tie it into the creation of the Shroud of Turin.
Right. Which was another great conversation that we've had. Yes.
Right. With the holy fire. And I think you'll find this really interesting. It's blowing my mind completely.
I know from the conversation that we had last time, I started digging deep into that. And I know the fact that you have been to a lot of these places, you have the connections, and people are willing to talk to you about a lot of things that they won't tell a lot of other people. I can't wait to see that one. But I mean, we'll talk about the rungs of disclosure, your book, in just a moment. But I can't leave this whole entity that just walked out of that portal thing, because we're not done talking about portals, because that is something that is fascinating. Because a portal that we imagine like that, you don't know where they are. You don't know where something could walk out of or walk into, or do people get caught up in them by accident? Like, what are some of these things that, what do we need to be afraid of, and what do we need to just be aware of?
Well, I mean, first of all, I don't have all the answers. Nobody does. And so
you've got a lot of answers,
you know,
though.
You know, I've got some, but you know, nobody's got the whole, you know, you can't turn to page 73. How do I interact with portals? You know, what to be afraid of, what not. The bottom line is, some of these gateways, some of these portals, like for instance, down in Peru, on the border of Peru and Bolivia, there's this place called Amaramura. Brian Forrester took us down there originally. But, you know, Brian didn't discover this. It's been there for thousands of years. The shamans go and do ceremonies in front of this thing. It is a gateway. People have seen light beings come out of this thing. It looks like a doorway in the rock, and that's what it is. But people who go in, sometimes when they come out, they're completely mad. They've lost their minds. They've lost their minds. The shamans know how to deal with it. So, you know, the shamans can move in these gateways and go from one place to another. They can travel like this. New Agers who are involved in remote viewing are essentially accessing some of these gateways, some of these portals. They're able to, they go into a trance,
right.
They astral project, and they move through these gateways. It's happened to me about 10 years ago, and this was happening, and I didn't know, you know, it was very pleasant, very, very pleasant, very alluring. And I didn't know what it was at first. And so a friend of mine said, the next time it happens, ask the Lord, if it's not from you, Father, take it from me. And so I was flying across this field. It looked like I was maybe in Ireland, right next to the coast, this field of like wheat. It was just beautiful. And I'm flying, you know, flying, astral projecting, doing this. And I reach out to the Lord and go, Father, I don't want to, if this isn't from you, please take it from me. Bam, just like that. It's never happened again. It's never happened again.
Wow. So as we're talking about this, we're talking about portals opening up and people going into it and coming out, and they're mad, they're crazy, you know, they just can't handle it. I know in books that you've written, you talk about I know we'll talk about it in the rungs of disclosure, because humanity, and especially our society, has been desensitized to these things. And it's almost like it's a continual slow drip to basically get us prepared. And I was just thinking about, you know, the Netflix series Stranger Things. And there's this place called the Upside Down, and you know, people get trapped in that, and it's a horrible thing. But all of these movies about aliens, about horror, things like that, about portals, mm-hmm. it's really kind of getting us ready to just kind of accept what's to come. And as these rungs of disclosure start happening more and more, can you tell us about this?
It's predictive programming. There's no doubt about it. Last year or this year in the 2024 Super Bowl, I have it. If you want to see it, I can roll the clip.
Yep. That's
it. So the backstory is this: 2024 Super Bowl ads cost millions of dollars on the Super Bowl. They just do. And most ads are like 30 seconds and they're funny, and the production values are way up because they know millions and millions of people are watching the Super Bowl on a global level. It's the one thing that we all kind of agree on here in America. You know, we're going to watch the Super Bowl, have a Super Bowl party, and we all, you know, we all do it. You know, it's the only football game I watch every year. Because I watch the halftime. I watch to see what they're showing. I watch the commercials to see what they're showing us. So the clip I'm about to show you is a minute and 30 seconds. Millions and millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. And then we've got the ad. Here we go. Watch this.
Reports of flying saucers are nothing new.
These are routine sightings, not isolated events.
Are you seeing that? It's spinning. There's a whole swarm of them.
Oh, my God. They're all against the wind.
Now, watch right here.
Look at this. That's 110, 150.
Everybody's on their goofy cell phones. Mile-wide craft.
Transparency.
Notice the elongated skull. They all look up. Mile wide craft, John. That was New York. Now we're in Paris. Now we go to Japan. No, that's Texas right there. There's Japan. It's a global event.
We must make immediate contact.
I told you to take Broadway. This always happens.
A website makes it real. So the very end of the film, a website makes it real? Squarespace? I mean, we see Squarespace for what, 4 or 5 seconds?
Mm.
What we're looking at is predictive programming. Texas, New York, Paris, and Japan. So they obviously can't do every city of the world, but there are multiple crafts, mile-wide craft, over the cities. This is the coming great deception. This is why you need to buy the book, folks. You really do,
yeah.
Because it's all there. But, you know, why are they showing this? And they show that everybody's on their goofy cell phones. No one's looking up. No one's paying attention. The next time you're at an airport, look around you. Now, I use my cell phone every day. And right now it's turned off. It's in the other building. It's in the main house. Frankly, I hate my cell phone. And I will not be controlled by my cell phone. I just won't be. So I turn it off. And I leave it over there. If I'm editing a film, the cell phone's off, and at lunchtime, I'll see who's bothering me now. That's it. But I'm not a slave to it. And in that clip, everybody globally is like this, looking down at their goofy cell phone. So we're not looking up, and this is, you know, oh, there are friendly little aliens there. Oh, you know, he's got an elongated skull, and he goes, oh, my gosh, we're not paying attention. What people don't understand, this is the coming great deception. How do we get a one world religion? How do we get a one world government? We don't get that unless something traumatic happens, which triggers their arrival. And it's coming. It's the top rung. Disclosure, full disclosure, is the top rung on the ladder of disclosure. And I want to thank Charisma for publishing the book. We're excited about it. You guys are releasing it soon. We have it on our website. But your viewers should buy from Charisma.
Yeah.
You know, support what you guys do.
Yeah, it's really important to understand what is going on. And you just mentioned the coming great deception. And that is something that we read about in the Bible. And a lot of times, if you're reading the Bible, you're like, well, it doesn't make sense how anybody would fall for this. But now you look in our world today, it's easy to see when people thinking that unicorns are real. You know, that I'll just leave it at that. But people think that unicorns are real. And, you know, it's like, wow, you don't know what's up and down. You don't know what's right and wrong. And people call right wrong and wrong right. We're in a place where we're setting ourselves up to be deceived. And so being aware of the rungs of disclosure is really important. You know, LA, how have you kept yourself so aware of these things as opposed to just letting life pass you by?
Well, I mean, the Lord has raised me up in this. This is why I can't, you know, all his glory, all glory to the King. I mean, yeah, my hand's on the plow. I'm not looking back. You know, I get that. But he's the one that called me into what I'm doing. And before I was a Christian, I was involved in the New Age. By that time, I had seen, you know, one UFO at 12 years old. Since then, I've seen two more. So a total of three in my life. I don't go looking for this stuff, but I was immersed in the New Age. I used to think that, you know, UFOs were our space brothers. and that's what the other side of the aisle still maintains, and that paradigm, that's what they tenaciously hold on to. These are our space brothers, come to save us. Well, these guys have been here, you know, for the last 60, 70 years. Why not give us the cure to cancer? No. They don't do that. They just keep taking people against their will and implanting people. We took out one of the implants. So, you know, I'll just give you an example. We were set to go and film in an undisclosed location somewhere across the pond, okay? Mm-hmm. And we were at the Property Watchers Conference, and we were filming about the film that we're working on now. We were filming Russ Braholt and Joe Marino and others about the Holy Fire, the Shroud of Turin and the Holy Fire. We were filming that. So I go to bed after the first night of filming, or the first day of filming, and now it's night, and I'm in bed. And Lord gets me up like he does every morning, and he begins to speak to me. This doesn't happen every night. Trust me, it doesn't. But when he speaks, I listen, and I know his voice. And he basically said, you know, I didn't tell you to go there. I didn't tell you to go across the pond and film that. I didn't tell you to do that. Okay. Repent. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Next morning, I come down. My business partner, Gil Zimmerman, is there. Our good friend, Jim Peterson, is there. He runs all of our sound when we're filming. And I go, guys, I got to run something by you. Lord told me that we're not supposed to go across the pond and film. And Gil, my business partner, goes, wow, Ole, I can't believe you just said that. For the last 2 weeks, I've been troubled in my spirit. I didn't know how to broach the subject with you. And Jim immediately goes, man, my spirit just leapt inside me when you said that. You know, it was like the moment I said that, John, to them, it was like a weight was lifted off of me. Just this weight just lifted right off, because the Lord said, I didn't tell you to do that. So the film that we're working on now, The Holy Fire, The Shroud of Turin, that's the film he wants out. So, you know, I'll be 74 in December, and I'm still learning how to walk with him, how to mind the checks, how to listen to his voice, how not to get ahead of him, how to not be afraid of going, oops, I made a mistake, and call up our contact over there. We're not coming over. What? It's just like, you know, that was a blind side. So, yeah. You know, it's sobering. So that's how I walk with him. You know, just try to be humble. And I'm not saying that, oh, look, LA is really humble. I'm just saying it's like, it's not my will, but his will. He's raised me up into this position. That's why I think this might be the most important book I've ever penned, because I think it's coming down. I really do. I think we're in a window of time which is, as we've been talking about, absolutely unprecedented.
Yeah, and there's so many unprecedented things going on. It's kind of hard to keep track of it all, and that's why the rungs of disclosure will help keep it organized in a way.
Very true.
So LA, we've talked about Israel, we've talked about portals, we've talked about the rungs of disclosure. What is God saying to you today that we can kind of leave this on?
Just to watch, you know, And let me leave you with this. There's a scripture, and I get it, you know, the typical interpretation of a scripture, and I understand that. You've got 10 virgins. They all have oil in their lamps. No, sorry, let me back that up. They're all waiting for the bridegroom. They're all waiting for the bridegroom. There were 10 virgins. They're all waiting for the bridegroom. So they know that the bridegroom's coming, but only 5 have oil, 5 don't. What does that mean? What does that mean? And so people will say, well, the oil is, you know, symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Not so fast. I get that. It may be. I don't know. But it also may be something else. It also may be the 5 foolish virgins weren't aware of the prophecies. Now, this is my interpretation, and I'm stuck with it. But the five virgins who have the oil is the word of God, and they know the prophecies. That's the oil in their lamps. They're waiting for the bridegroom. They're expectant because they know the prophecies. The 5 foolish virgins don't know the prophecies. Now, that's my interpretation of it, because most of the church today has no idea of Ezekiel 38, Isaiah 17, Amos 9, 14, and 15, never again to be plucked up out of their land. They don't know. So, and in fact, many of the churches don't even talk about what's going on over there. Many of the churches are amillennial. They don't believe in a literal 1,000-year reign of Jesus. Many are anti-Israel. you know, anti-Israel. They don't believe in Christian Zionism. It's not, you know, you can label it whatever you want. I will bring back the captives of my people, Israel. You know, I will plant them in their land, and never again will they be plucked up out of a land I have given them, says the Lord your God, not Elie Marzulli. I'm just reading it for Amos 9, 14 and 15. We are here. So I'm expectant. That's what I'm looking at. I think, and I could show you one more clip. Do you have time for one more clip?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. This is why we are in, this is why we are living in unprecedented times. And I will show you what happened to it. Hello, McFly. Hold on. Okay, there it is. I'm going to go back here. Okay. Now I'm going to just give me a segundo. This is the one I want. Okay. It doesn't matter what this woman is talking about. Watch her. Just watch this. She could be talking about nuclear fission or the greatest recipe for eggplant parmesan you've ever had. Watch this.
Have you ever had, maybe you're in that place right now where you want to turn your life around and you know somewhere deep in your soul, there could be some decisions that you have to make. Like, you know, like it's like things, something was decided for you. And instead of trying to make something that is done work, it's like the invitation is to make the decision, commit to that, and to start creating what comes next. But here's the thing.
What you just witnessed was 100% AI.
Wow.
And so the reason why I show that is we no longer can ascertain what is true and what is fiction. We can't tell. We can't tell anymore. He's got to come back because truth is thrown to the street. You know, honesty cannot come in. We don't know what's real and what isn't real anymore. And everything is firing on all eight cylinders. So in my opinion, I might have date set her, but probably next Wednesday. But he's got to come back soon. I don't know when. My hand's on the plow. Oh, well, you're just trying to escape and blah, 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 blah. No. You know, I've got 30 films, 31 coming, and 14 books, and I'm working on number 15. So my hand's on the plow. Don't accuse me of that, please. But I'm expectant. I am looking up because we are in uncharted, unprecedented waters. He has got to come back. Why not now? Does that mean I'm escaping? No. That means I'm more earnest about my faith and where we are in the timeline than ever before.